We have heard the creation story found in the first chapter of Genesis. And now I will read to you the second creation story as found in the Bible. The world was not created twice. However, there are two stories of creation in the Bible. There are actually many creation stories from all over the world. Every culture needs to tell us the story of how we got here. This second story is indeed very old and likely has its origins in oral tradition and much later was written down in its present form. So reading from Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb on the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Join me in prayer. O God, creator of all, you create words before they even come to our minds. We pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and the actions of our lives be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, there's nothing quite like regular habits and regular activities to put you aware of the changing of the seasons. Regular habits help you see time moving on. And my regular habit of getting up at 5:30 every Sunday morning has done that for me this week. I got up at 5:30, went down to the kitchen and said to myself, where's the sun? Take 3 weeks off and somebody takes the sun away. The season is changing. The air is cooler. The dew is thicker on the grass. The birds have returned to the feeder. The squash in the garden is growing plump and ripe. The children have returned to school. The season is changing. It's changing in the church as well. We've begun a new season of worship. And this year, we're doing the season of creation, which we've never done before. Or perhaps that's what we've been doing all along, all the time. Traditionally, the seasons of the church follow the cycles of the stories of our faith, primarily the story of Jesus. So we have Advent, Christmas, birth, the beginning. We have Epiphany, light, insight, message, gospel coming to us. We have Lent, the light of God meets the struggles of the world. Easter, the stories of death and resurrection. these our seasons follow the story of our faith. Well, this new season actually is a very old season. If you think about all the calendars of the world, most of them follow the cycles of the creation. And the Christian story lives within the cycles of creation. And so that we don't simply take it for granted, we're going to take some time, 6 weeks. And in this time between Labor Day and Thanksgiving, we are devoting activity and our prayer life to the creation upon which our life so utterly depends. We celebrate the gift of creation, and we sink into that relationship with God in creation and our call to nurture that relationship. I mean, our creed declares God has created and is creating. This is not a season about something that happened once and doesn't still happen, but is happening ongoing. Our creed says we are called to live with respect in creation. This season, we dedicate ourselves to that deep respect for God in the midst of all creation. It's precisely what we celebrate. Last week, Carrie led a celebration of the wonder of God's ongoing creation, telling that first creation story, the one with the 7 days in which God creates with words. Notice God never rolls up God's divine shirt sleeves in that one, but simply declares, "Let there be this, let there be that," and there it is. This week we hear the second creation story in the Bible in which God gets a little bit more messy, stirs up some dirt, fashions a human out of earth. Well, these are very different stories, coming from very different times in the history of our people, with very different views about who God is and what this creative activity is all about. In the first story, God is very orderly. God is a disembodied voice over chaos before creation and creates order out of that chaos by saying so. This is the precursor to the parental impulse to create order in the family by saying, "Because I said so, it is." "Let there be light." There it is. And it was good. "Let there be spaces in the waters of chaos so that there can be land." And there it is. Separating, creating order. "Let there be vegetation on the land," and there it is. That's how God creates. And the pièce de la résistance, "Let there be humans," and they were. And they weren't just good, they were very good. Yes. In this creation story, we are created in God's image, and we are somehow kind of special in the order of creation. Everything is to be fruitful and multiply. But we are to fill the earth and subdue it. We are to have dominion over it. Now, if you were good up until the point that I said those last two sentences, and now you're starting to get a little squirmy, just hang on to that for a second, because we'll come back to it. Because in the second story of creation, God rolls up those divine shirt sleeves and gets down and dirty in the creation of all things. God scoops up some soil and fashions a human out of earth and blows into that human's nostrils, obviously a better potter than I, and places the human in the garden and fills it with good living things. But God says, did you catch that? God says, be careful. There's good and evil that exist, you know. Don't blow it. Because the creation is not just good, and you can get hurt. Well, isn't that a different portrayal of the Creator and our place in creation than that other creation story? In this creation story, we are in creation. We're not over it. We're vulnerable in it. Careful, you could hurt yourself. You could hurt others too. We don't so much as subdue it, but work within it carefully. We are formed of earth. And later on we find out, and to earth we all return. Well, friends, to put it bluntly, for the last 3,000 years, we have increasingly followed the first narrative of creation and our place in it, and have quite successfully filled the earth, been fruitful, multiplied like crazy, and subdued huge portions of it, while at the same time working really hard to ignore the parts of that second narrative that declare our humble place among the creatures of earth, formed of earth, living and dying along with the rest of it. In fact, we've made a project out of making sure that we can hold that off as long as possible. We've tried to hold the reality of that second story at arm's length, and to our own detriment and the detriment of the creation. In our pursuit of dominion, we have wrought destruction. And I believe that a key, certainly from within the Christian, Judeo-Christian worldview, a key to the renewal of our relationship with the creation is found in the truth within that second creation story. Because there's truth in both. That second one, though, holds a key for us. If we are to renew our relationship with creation, and I believe we must for our own survival, let alone for the sake of God's creative project here, we must climb down from our place of dominion, take a more humble stance. We're not owners of this. We're embedded in it, part of it. Even to say that we're stewards of creation is to make us somehow in charge. And that, I believe, is the mistake we make. Rather, we are part of creation. And scientists will tell us that the bacteria will outlive the humans. They're much more creative. They're much more durable. If we are clever, we are clever beyond our own good in so many ways, but we have to temper that intelligence with humility, because we also have a tendency towards greed. Getting down off our pillar of self-importance, that's thing one for us. Which leads me to thing two. We must come to terms with our own substance. We are earthly, fleshly, beautifully, vulnerably earthly. The stuff of our life is essentially no different than the stuff of the tomato on the vine, the granite in the Canadian Shield, the water in the ocean. That's what we're made of. We are formed of the same stuff, and we circulate through just like everything else in creation. Human. It's related to the word humus. Dirt and humility, earthiness, They mean the same thing. In the end, formed of earth, and to earth we all return. And this truth is ever with us, even if we try to shelter ourselves from it. I believe we need to embrace that truth, because there's beauty in our earthiness. Which leads me to the third thing, which I partly borrowed from the wisdom not only of the biblical narrative, but the first peoples of this land. The soil which sustains our life, from which we come, is not just inherited from our ancestors, but it's borrowed from our children. We return to the earth, all of us, this generation, every generation returns to the earth. And God stirs up a coming generation. We must use what is here gently for their sake. We must live in it with respect and humility for their sake. We've just borrowed from them. We all touch the earth. We all affect it. We change it. So we must touch the earth lightly for their sake and for the sake of God's earthly creative project, of which you are a part.